Good morning or good afternoon, everyone. Maybe we even have somebody who's an evening. Welcome to our third, oh yeah. So we'll start with who is up for being scribe. On the queue, I have Richard, Nathan, Matthew, Nate is next on the queue. Any of you want to tackle it today? Drummond, would you be willing to tackle it today?
Yeah, I can try.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it doesn't have to be perfect.
I'll do my best.
Okay, so welcome to our third community call since the Verified Claims Working Group started. The agenda is at that URL that is posted. Basically, there are two chairs, which are myself, Christopher Allen, and Kim Hamilton. And we're basically alternating each week, leading the meeting. So this is my week. This is also a joint call between the Credentials Working Group, which is the primary, but also we formed a digital verification community group, which hasn't had any calls, but does have members, and just in case there is not a complete union between the two groups, we've invited anybody interested in that to participate in the call. Quick agenda review, we're going to have introductions and a reintroduction. We're going to talk about our current status items. Our priorities sort of for the month are the next two items, which are the community group name and integration ideas with the digital verification community group, and then begin the process of reviewing and prioritizing work items, suggested work items for the credentials group in its new form. And then, of course, action items and suggestions for next week. We'll begin our, is there any changes or questions regarding the agenda?
I just notification, same notification as on the previous call. We're going to be talking about the U.S. Fed Secure Payments Task Force, and we're going to also talk about this community there. So we're going to talk about verifiable claims and this community. So I wanted to make sure folks in this community have the ability to give feedback on the presentation before we do it next week.
Okay, so we'll try to make a little time for that. So we're going to begin with introductions and reintroductions. Is there anybody who is new to our community for the first time? And would like to introduce themselves.
I could go. My name is Ryan. I've been to a couple of the Sovereign Identity conferences, but I'm new here at the W3C. My interest is focused on the DID spec and some of the method specifications. And branches out from there.
Okay. Anyone else first time to our community?
Hi, so this is Maria Dbavitska. I work with Jan Kamenich, who couldn't join today, but could join in the future calls. We work in the privacy preserving authentication and identity management, identity mixer and related projects on selective disclosure and privacy preserving authentication from IBM Research.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you being available for the call. Anyone else?
This is Marcus Marco Sabatello. I guess I'm first time on one of these calls. I know many of you, right? Just quickly introducing myself. I have a small company in Vienna working on digital identity, working on sovereign, part of the Sovereign Foundation, and I'm quite familiar with a lot of technologies here, DID and RDF and SOLID and verifiable claims. At last rebooting Web of Trust workshop, I contributed to the Java implementation of Link Data signatures, the latest signature suite in that area, and I'm also working heavily on XDI, right, extensible data interchange, which sort of overlaps with some of the work in verifiable claims. So that's why I'm interested in all of this.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, so we're going to now go to reintroductions, which the goal of which is that every week that we find someone who has been a member for a while, but we'd like to know a little bit more about what keeps you involved in the community, and let members who've arrived since your introduction way back when. So this week we've asked Adam to reintroduce himself and say a little bit about what keeps him involved in the community. Adam?
Assuming that Adam Lake. Adam Lake here. I work with Digital Bazaar, and just very compelled by the idea of self-sovereign identity and basically individual sort of sovereignty and liberty on the web. That's really what keeps me coming back and working with great folks at Digital Bazaar.
Thank you very much. Okay, so onward to next agenda item, which is our action items. We're not going to actually talk a whole lot about the action items, just simply the status of them. Kim is planning on sending a last call for, actually did send a last call for additional CG work items before a poll. I do encourage you, if we're missing a work item, that you get it in very soon today. Else you may not be included in the poll that is being created. The second action item is for Kim also. She's actually creating the poll for priority on work items with the basic idea of getting a snapshot in 3 weeks for the results of the prioritization. So that's in progress. I have an action item of drafting the first draft of the mission statement for review. It's currently on hold until we have a little more discussion around name and mission and how we might merge the groups, which is also my next agenda item, which is how do we merge if we're going to, and et cetera. And then we all have an action item of approving the new name and mission statement and, maybe ideally a few work items by the end of the month. So June 27th is the last Tuesday of the month, and we would like to, it may be ambitious, but I'd like to get that all closed up by then so that we can concentrate all of our time on work items. Am I missing any action items? There is one more action item for Manu, which is to help us clean up the permissions on the various places. In particular, I really want to be able to start being able to change the W3C site to refer to our new logs and stuff. Is that acceptable, Manu?
Hold on. Yes, I'm happy to help wherever. I think one of them is we need to, the W3C community site stuff, Dan Burnett, you and I should probably work together on that, because only current chairs can modify current chairs and add new chairs. So we need to do that. Are there any other, like the GitHub repos are fine though, right?
I believe so, but we may want to just, I'm not even sure quite all the different places that I should be looking because there's a few now. So.
Yeah. I think the only ones that matter right now are the community group wiki. I think the GitHub repos are fine, and then everything else is like, you know, Google Docs and whatever.
Right. And I'm also confident that I'm in them, but I'm not as confident that Kim is. So maybe we make a Google Doc of what where all the places are. So.
Yep.
Okay. So that's the last current action item. We now move to our first topic, which is the community group name and or integration of the digital verification community groups. So at the last meeting, there was no strong objection to integrating both community groups into one. The only point that was maybe brought up was that people who really wanted to focus more on digital verification, you know, might not be interested in the broader sort of credentials discussions. We have a new cryptographer, at this meeting today. We can talk a little bit about that a little bit more. But at this point, there's been no strong objection. That means we likely need a new name with the criteria of what is a better brand for this community, what name would appeal to the broader participation, what name might be able to last for 5 years. This group is, Credentials User Group was chartered 3 years ago, so it might need to last a while. And then there's been some concern that the credentials name is maybe overly broad and thus annoys other communities. Identity definitely does, maybe some other words as well. So what name can we choose that doesn't annoy other communities or prevent participation because they go, oh, those guys suck because they're taking over. I liked the quote that Manu said, which was benign but interesting. And then we need a process to brainstorm and select a new name. So that's kind of our agenda until 9:30. Maybe a little bit more, and then we will move on to the next agenda item. So the speaker queue is empty. Amanda, you want to just quickly recap kind of the criteria? Thank you.
I'm sorry. Finish your sentence, Christopher.
Oh, just recap the criteria or your concerns or in particular, whether or not to continue to use the name credentials or move to digital verification, everything move over digital verification, et cetera.
Right. So I think you did a great job summarizing kind of what we want and the various options. There's a time limit to this in that I need to, you know, I need to jump in front of the U.S. Fed's secure payments task force next week, 100 plus bankers in the audience, and use whatever we decide, you know, today through next week in front of them. So I need to call the group something in front of that group. I filled in digital verification community group because it was, you know, it felt broad enough and not it wasn't too credential specific or too verifiable claim specific. Barring strong objections from this group, I'll probably call it that. That doesn't mean that we need to call ourselves that. I'm favoring digital verification community group now because it's a fairly big tent that kind of everyone can join under. To put it another way, counter arguments for the credential CG is that just it didn't work. People asked us to change it to verifiable claims when it was brought into W3C. Any kind of identity community group doesn't work because we got strong pushback on the word identity. Digital verification seems like the one that fits the bill the most, but we really haven't heard from other folks in the community, so I feel very uneasy switching to that until we get more stronger opinions on which direction we should take.
So,
go
ahead.
Sorry. I mean, to me, digital verification is a little bit vague. What are you verifying? Digital what? Whereas credentials is actually crystallizes out what you want to do. It's a credential that you know, gives me some privilege, some permission. It says something about what I'm entitled to do. And therefore, it seems to sum up the work much better, in my opinion, than digital verification, which is too vague.
Any other comments?
Can I get a review? This is Ryan. On what overloading means to the W3C, is there a reason there can't be multiple identity groups? Does everything need to be in a taxonomy?
It was just a general, like, allergic reaction to the word identity. You are not going to do identity at W3C is effectively the very strong pushback that we got. That is a tar pit. Don't start that work here. That's the problem folks have had with identity in the past. The word identity.
But there's not a problem with credential, is there? Because we're already using that.
The problem with credential is that the security community got really angry at us over that, because the credential is a username and password. And a FIDO device is all about credentials management. And there's already a credential management API through the Web Application Security Working Group. So they look at that as a, why are you trying to take over our work, or you're just going to confuse people if you keep using the word credential, because credential means Facebook login or username password. So those are the...
My goodness, I can't believe that they think that credential means username and password.
Well, that's... problem...
It's really last century, isn't it? It's...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's where we are. I mean, that's where we are. And that group has a fairly big amount of sway at W3C, because their chairs are from Facebook and, you know, they're security professionals. So there's almost this air of, you know, you can't touch security professionals when they have an opinion about something.
There's a working group in W3C on WebAuth, which is, you know, to absolutely do away with passwords and to use keys.
Yeah, but they're saying those are credentials. That's credential management, right? Yeah.
But it's got nothing to do with passwords. It's to do with key pairs.
Yeah, but that's what they're saying. That the definition is a credential is a key pair. It's nothing more than that.
That's not username password, is it?
Right. Yeah, but they're using the word credential for you know, username, password, or keys, but not anything more than that.
Right. But I mean, if you actually think about it generically, they are just examples of credentials.
Correct.
Yeah. So credential is a generic term, and we are actually wanting to use it in its full generic meaning, so that it can actually be a passport, a driving license, or whatever, or a key pair.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
So in a way, we're actually more correct than they are, because they're too limited in focus.
I don't think anyone on the call would really disagree with you. The problem is when that discussion happens, it's Google and Microsoft and Facebook on one side of the table and the rest of us on the other side. So that's the problem, is that, you know, our opinion doesn't really, you know, matter.
I appreciate
it's
hard to big guys. Yeah,
Manna, you should maybe say a tiny bit more about what, you know, I mean, what the consequence of having somebody block or one of these powers block. So
right, and so the problem is that when you get into those kinds of terminology discussions, or there's a fear that you might be trying to take over somebody else's turf at W3C, you get these large organizations blocking you behind the scenes. They don't do it actively, but behind the scenes, they will send a private message, you know, W3C management saying, oh, I think they're trying to do this, and you need to do something about it. And that results in exactly what happened with the verifiable claims work being slowed down for a year, right? We were being kind of blocked behind the scenes because there was this misunderstanding about what we were trying to do and us overreaching. So that's why that selection, you know, of what we call the community group is so important. We can't seem threatening to these pre-existing groups. And we know that the word identity and the word credential are threatening, and they can be used to slow down the work. And we just don't, you know, we just don't want to get into that scuffle if we can think of a different word that works for us.
Yeah, I appreciate your motive. I think it's a very solid motive. I just think that the term digital verification is too vague.
I agree.
Maybe that's the benefit of it, that it's so vague that nobody will object. But I don't know, on the other hand,
okay.
So what do you mean by it?
Yeah. Joe, you're in the queue next.
Yeah, thank you. So this is fascinating. I really like credential, but I understand these political reasons that it's untenable. My concern about verification is that in verifiable claims conversations, when I was speaking to lay people about verifiable claims and what's verifiable, I was able to focus on the fact that all we're verifying is that the issuer at one time controlled the credentials to assert the claim. We weren't talking about verifying that the claim was true. And so there was a distinction about what it means to verify that I think we're losing with this notion of verification. So that's, I would like to be able to retain that and maybe find a different word for instead of verification. That's all.
What about
using a
term like cards or digital cards or digital tokens or something like that?
That's dangerous also. But, yeah, we should also do the queue just to make sure everybody has an opportunity to do things.
Yes.
No problem. If someone is only via phone call, you're welcome to just say, please add me to the queue and we'll add you. I didn't have any problem with the two names sort of separately. I felt like the distinction of, you know, what are the ways that we, you know, verify things was very useful, because as I try to recruit more cryptographers, we have one today who is an expert on selective disclosure. As we try to address those things, those can be useful for other communities besides the credentials community. So I kind of like the distinction at one point, but also there just isn't critical mass for that group at this point. So I'm also not completely happy with moving rapidly to digital verification as the umbrella. But I also recognize, Manu's reason why he might like to rush the process a little bit. That's it for me. Speaker queue is empty. Joe, do you want to say something, want to just simply share your brainstorming so far and where you're coming from?
Sure. I part of what's happened with identity, and I'm trying to work with the folks at Cantera to eventually bubble up to ISO, is to shift the definition of identity to digital identity. So I like digital as a precursor to frame what we're talking about. Based on my earlier comment, if we can retain verification means checking the signature, if you will, maybe digital assertions, digital attestations, what are the things that are, embedded in these claims writ larger than just the verifiable claims work. So that's sort of where I was coming from.
Okay. Any other quick comments? Anybody have any suggestions on how we can accelerate our process?
We actually, it looks like there's support building for the digital attestations community group.
Okay.
In IRC.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I need to get on the queue, but I'm trying to.
This
is
Drummond
just to say, wait a minute, digital attestations, I mean, verifiable claims, digital attestations, it seems like just generic and specific. I'm concerned it's going to sound like it's just overlap with verifiable claims. I mean, can we be specific as to how this is different than verifiable claims?
It's supposed to be broader, and I think you make a great point, Drummond. I think what we're trying to do here is we're trying to broaden the community group. Like, we're not just working on verifiable claims anymore. We're trying to bring all the signature and blockchain stuff under the umbrella because it's hard to split those out into different groups and have different communities work on them. They all kind of flow together. So we're slightly broadening scope for the community group out of necessity.
Okay, so I one of my concerns with digital attestations is that is actually one of the words that is in my thing that I brought up in the previous call. So there is this concern that I have and some others have that are coming from more reputation-based systems around even with verified claims, that reputation systems have this need for sort of three classes of things. So in the case of R3, which is a large consortium of banks which has been looking into this, they basically have claims then supported by proofs, and then you have attestations on the combination of claims and proofs. I posted a link to the issue that I put into the data model repository there. That's a large consortium bank, and I've heard some similar things from, I believe, Ernst & Young, and unfortunately I don't think we have the party from Ernst & Young that has been involved with the group here today, but I'll ask him. I think they also have had some kind of distinction there. It came up also with at rebooting Web of Trust with Noah and Harlan's portable reputation use kit, and they use the words assertions, evidence, and evaluation. But anyhow, you note that attestations was one of the words that they used for a subtype of a verified claim, and that has me concerned. Okay, Kim, I think you're next.
Yeah, one thing I was wondering, because when I heard the word attestation specifically, I liked that because that sounds very precise to me, but then I, forget the context around what other groups might interpret it, what those sort of loaded meanings might be. Would it make sense for us to just start writing, like, say, a Google Doc of, sort of possible words we're considering, and sort of the basically the ones that are off limits, so we know which ones are kind of forbidden or something. That I hate naming by committee, but I think it's pretty hard to come up with something without knowing all the context of what's off limits.
You want to take that as an action item to write that restart the document and send it to the list?
Yes. It may be very small to start with, but I'll at least get something out there.
Yeah. I was just looking quickly in the dictionary. You know, there's corroboration, there's declarations, there's testaments and testimonials. So you can become the testimonial community group. Okay, so we're sort of reaching the end of time for that agenda item. It will continue to be an agenda item next week. The chairs recognize Manu's concern that we advance that forward. I do want to, Maria, do you mind if I put you on the spot a little bit? You know, you're new to this group, and the particular expertise is around the digital verification and the privacy and confidentiality things there. I don't know if you've had a chance to, think about sort of our larger, the credentials community questions or whatever. But do you have any quick comments or thoughts your interests and ability to help and such?
So we've been working in a few EU projects. Also, one of them was with Microsoft that was called ABC for Trust, and actually there we call that whole privacy preserving attribute based credentials system, where we actually developed also like the whole language of how you would specify. We call them presentation policy, which is a access control requirements, and then like we define the whole terminology around this privacy preserving authentication there, together with Microsoft and other partners on this project. So, and there we also defined kind of selective disclosure. So it's a kind of a variation of those presentation policies, and then a user gets a credential, and then gets based on the policy generates a presentation token from his credential. That unlinkable token is actually presented and verified. So that was the terminology that we defined in this project, and we also published. So this is part of the deliverables and also publications where we defined such language for privacy preserving authentication. And actually now we're also integrating, so there were two technologies that were implemented in that project. So our Microsoft Uproof and IBM Identity Mixer. So IBM Identity Mixer is open source, and we're actually trying now to integrate it also in the blockchain. And we're looking into identity management solutions inside the permission blockchain and also like on top of blockchain. So we're very much looking into all their identity solutions, and that's why we're very interested, especially in the with the privacy preserving angle. And I guess that is what I see a lot on this work items points.
Yeah. So thank you very much, and thank you for letting me put you on the spot. I think this is an important issue. clearly, there are no easy answers. Our action item is that Kim will do an initial document, and we will try to resolve it soon. So, Manu, can you recap again? When would you like the decision to be made? Do we have session?
The final slides are due in 2 days, so anytime before then would be great.
No pressure. Thank you.
I guess let me ask this. Would anybody object to me? I have two options, I think. Either just use the credentials community group, because that's what we're called right now, and kind of downplay it in the slides and dance around the name a bit, or call it the digital verification community group and do the same thing. I think what this has made clear is that I shouldn't talk about the name. I should just give people links to join.
Well, to make it easier, I have said that every time we've sent agenda, I have sent the agenda also to the other working group, to the digital verification working group. So if they join that or whatever, they will get notices as to all of the things that we've done.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the approach is to basically say, look, this work is happening across multiple communities. It's happening in the Rebooting Web of Trust community, the digital verification community, the credentials community. Go to this one link if you want to go somewhere, and I'll point them to this community group's mailing list and say, this is where you join if you want to be a part of all of this. And just kind of not force the issue.
Okay. Okay, so we should move on to our next item. I think we have at least a temporary resolution for Manu's critical path. We're a little short on time. Our goal was to review suggested work items, or at least a few of them. There are four today. We'll try to get through at least three of them. The first one is the browser polyfill. Dave, you want to give us a quick review of this item? In particular, who are the champions? What is the work item about? Why is it important? And if there's any current status, like, is it, hey, it's almost done, let's just we can move fast or whatever. Dave?
Right. Sure. So I actually made a quick little slide deck if people want to follow along. We'll just go through it pretty quickly. I put the link into IRC. So I believe, I don't remember if anyone else had their name down as a champion on there. I would be the main champion for it. I know Manu would also be assisting. This work item is the Credentials Web API and Polyfill. And I didn't want to make any assumptions about whether or not people understood what a web API or polyfill was, because we've got different people with different backgrounds. So a web API is something that allows web applications to access devices or use special features. So people who are writing web applications might want to get access to your camera, get your geolocation, show notifications, those sorts of things. A web API is ideally natively implemented in web browsers. So, you know, it's in Chrome or Firefox or Edge, those sorts of things. That's ideal because if it's in those browsers, it's immediately available to any website whenever somebody's visiting. However, you can also polyfill a web API. So what's a polyfill? A polyfill is JavaScript that websites may, on their own, decide to serve up. So they can serve up a piece of JavaScript code, and that piece of code implements whatever features are missing in whatever browser the person is using when they visit the website. So it sort of fills in the gaps in web browsers that haven't implemented certain web APIs. The other thing that's really useful about a polyfill is it allows you to experiment and use new web API ideas without waiting for browser manufacturers to implement them, because sometimes that can take a while. And there's a lot of politics involved there. So if we're talking about a credentials web API, what would it be? You know, what new features do we want? Effectively, what we want is we want a way to for people to be able to go out and register a credential repository in their, effectively register it in their browser, which is a way of them getting like a digital wallet for storing credentials or verifiable claims and things that can be digitally verified. They want to be able to register that wallet, and then they want to be able to go to websites and store the credentials that those websites give to them. Then they want to be able to go to different websites and share those credentials. So having you want to be able to move across the web, and that you can tell by, as you're moving across the web to different websites, the thing that's constant in there is your web browser. So that's why we would want a web API. So the next slide that I'm on, I'm just kind of flying through these, I don't know if anyone is following along, is why will a credential API and polyfill be successful? And so be successful is kind of defined as working in the ecosystem and being something that we can get through W3C. So if we follow the previous W3C web payments work, where the web browser plays a central role of being a mediator between websites, we've got work to point at and precedent to point at to say, this web API works like that one. So we're following a model that works that other people are already implementing in browsers. There's also, this was mentioned during the terminology and naming discussion a little while ago, there's also an existing credential management API. Now, we don't want to take over this API, but we had spoken to the primary editor of this, who's Mike West at Google, I don't know, about a year or so ago. And they specifically put in extension mechanisms into their API so that groups like ours or others could come along, use those extension mechanisms, and make their type of credential available in this management API. So we have something that's already implemented in browsers that we might be able to extend, which makes it easier for us to get through the politics and get into the browser natively. The other thing about our design is we minimize the amount of work for browser manufacturers to do. We don't want them to have to do a whole lot. We want them to just be able to look at it and say, hey, look, people are using this already with a polyfill, and there's not a lot we have to do to get it into the browser natively. So that's a convincing argument for them to put it in there. Lastly, the polyfill keeps browser manufacturers out of the critical path. You can experiment with it. You can have people use it in production. And everybody on the web, you can build up an ecosystem around it using the polyfill, and then browsers will, over time, natively implement it, and their implementations will take over from the polyfill and work more seamlessly with browsers. So my last slide before some examples is there's some existing work here, and this goes to Christopher's question. We have an implementation of a credentials polyfill now. That's the first link to the source code. The second link, which I'll put in IRC, if I can copy this, is a live demo of an example website where you can go in, register an identity, which is sort of like registering your digital wallet. You can receive a verifiable claim or a credential, and then you can share that with another website that requests it. And so there's a live demo that shows that people can run through as they want to. The third link talks about the credential management, is a link to the credential management spec that Mike West wrote, and something that we would like there's a lot of different directions we can go with this. One way we can go is try to make our API an extension to credential management, and there are advantages for doing that. The fourth link is a really old spec, really rough draft of us talking about creating some spec text that would extend the credential management API. And the very last link is a link to the source code for the demo. It's all open source, so people can take a look at that if you're a coder and you're interested. The last couple of slides, if you're a coder, you might be interested in that. This is just an example of what the code, the JavaScript code that you would call on your website currently looks like. Slide 7 shows what you would call if you were a digital wallet or credential repository provider website. Slide 8. So slide 7 is talking about how you would register with a person's browser to create this digital wallet that they can use on other websites. Slide 8 talks about how if you're running an issuer website, how you would actually store a credential, get it into that person's digital wallet using the browser as a mediator. So you don't need to know what kind of digital wallet this person's using. You don't need to know who their provider is or any of that. You just make a call into the browser, and the browser figures that out. Then slide 9 is showing a website that wants to get a credential from you, and they can submit a query to your browser. Your browser will forward that to your digital wallet, and you can make selections and provide consent for what you want to send over. And when this happens, you know, there's a variety of different ways we can go. If people are familiar with channel binding, there's some, you know, this is a place where we could fit some of that in there if it makes sense. And you know, there's a lot of stuff to talk about on this work item, and in different directions we can go. But that sums it up.
Thank you. So we're not in this phase going to go have a conversation about that. We'll schedule that later. Instead, I'm asking that people go to the work items document and ask, you know, add comments or questions or whatever there. David, I would also encourage you to put the link to your little presentation at that location.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Let's move to the next item, which is Joe. You wanted to talk about the life cycle of a verifiable claim as a work item. Again, you know, who are the champions, what is it about, why is it important, and the status.
Okay, let me give this URL. We picked up another champion, and I'm actually looking for the the work items link. Does anyone else know who that champion is offhand? I forgot who it is.
Yeah, I put my name on that.
And who is that?
That was David Chadwick.
David Chadwick.
Okay, David. Well, thanks for signing up. I don't know if you know what you got yourself in for, but maybe you can chime in also with what. Great. So where this came from for me was with the Rebuilding Web of Trust. I workshop. I think it was the second one I went to, which was the third workshop. Me and about half a dozen folks started a conversation that led to this lifecycle engagement about a Syrian refugee. So the idea of a lifecycle engagement is just it is a prose description of the 15 steps of an individual interacting with the system over a given lifecycle. So you pick a user, you pick a defining value-creating transaction or situation, in this case a Syrian refugee in a refugee camp in Greece, and you walk through those 15 stages and write up a paragraph or two about each of those stages. So for those of you that can click through to the document, if you go to the end of that document, there is the visual presentation of those 15 steps. So the idea is this came from work that Ian Henderson and I did back in the information sharing work group, looking at how CRM systems view the lifecycle of a customer. And we iterated on that from a user-driven perspective, and then I iterated on it in this conversation to make it more generally applicable so it wasn't customer-centric, commercial-centric. And so the idea is, you know, the first stage is pre-contact. Before anyone has contact, what are the parties doing? How is contact made, which is phase two. Phase three, which is triage, is really how do you figure out how to deal with the entity? So if it's a sales call, that might be qualification. It could also be a negotiation in terms of figuring out what are we actually going to do if it's a complex sale. Agreement is where you actually close the sale or you actually come to some embodiment that, yes, okay, We've done the triage, now we're going to go do something together. That leads to consent and disclosure, steps five and six. And then you actually get into the action of the system. So you provide some services. There might be enhancements or upgrades. There are going to be updates to the data model. There may be issues that are unforeseen by any user interface. You have to know how you're going to deal with that. And then sections 11, 12, and 13 are all about maintaining a system in the field. So these are the DevOps items that we added that were not in the original customer supplier engagement framework. So that's maintenance, migration, and recovery. And again, the idea is, let me finish. So, and then there's exit, you're done with the system, you're done with the life cycle, and then some form of re-engagement. And the re-engagement may happen earlier in the cycle, especially if you're talking about in a sales dynamic. You don't want the person to stop being a customer before you re-engage them as a customer. So this perspective is simply to, for each of these phases, grab one distinctive interaction that exemplifies each of these elements. So you don't have to capture everything that's going to happen in each of these phases. You capture one or two things. And the focus is on the human experience or the human interaction and not on the technical implementation. And the whole goal is that within a handful of pages, I think URM ended up being six pages or something like that, you're able to present with some lightweight assumptions about technology what the human experience would be throughout the life cycle of using that technology. So the notion for thanks, Chris, I see that. So the notion for what we would do here is to pick a use case, build it around the assumption that we have verifiable claims in the way that we've been imagining them, and what would that take to go through that life cycle without worrying how are we signing it, how is it being verified, et cetera.
Thank you very much. So again, I encourage people who have questions to add comments to the working items document. I also put a link in the chat for something else that I used Joe's or started with Joe's model for, say, a Web of Trust use case. So our next agenda item is, oh, it's mine, the data minimization and selective disclosure report. So if you look at some of the, you know, our specs as well as this list of items in GitHub, you will see that we have a number of things that are oriented around data minimization and or selective disclosure. We have actually I don't see the CL signature one. Drummond, do you know where the CL signature draft was? I saw it at one point.
It's the pseudonymous 2016 one.
Okay, so it's a that one uses. Can somebody tell me what CL exactly it's?
Kamenish Lozinskaya.
Thank you. signatures. So that is using a particular methodology of true cryptographic selective disclosure. The redaction is actually more of one that is a data minimization approach. The difference between data minimization is it's, you know, not using as much hiding or blinding in a cryptographic fashion, but it's just sort of minimizing the data, et cetera. So we have some fairly high desires for data minimization and selective disclosure in our ideals, but they have not been expressed very effectively or meaningfully in our documents to date. So my thought was that we would create a document that would A, specify what is the difference between data minimization and cryptographic selective disclosure, and then share some of the different approaches of each and alternatives and detail a little bit more. Right now, I'm the lead or the champion for this particular item, and I've been recruiting others to participate with it. In particular, I know Maria came today, and hopefully she might be interested in being involved. Goal is, write a report, detail this out, maybe make some recommendations, and then after we do that, actually dive into reviewing these specs. So I'll close that out. Again, if people have comments about that work item, please add them to the work items group. Moving to the last work item of the four today, Drummond, I've only given you 5 minutes. Do you want to just hold it for the next, you want to just give us a URL, but we'll hold you first on the next call?
Sure, yeah. I can provide a URL to the current DID spec, and we can just talk about it on the next call.
You want to give a 20-second intro?
DIDs, decentralized identifiers, are. Let me just stick the link in there so folks can go look at it. DID is draft 01. DID. There's the link. So. It is a work that started here with the Verifiable Claims Task Force and the need for decentralized identifiers for verifiable claims, and we moved it forward under a contract with Department of Homeland Security and with the Rebooting Web of Trust group last year. So it is a an identifier format that can be adapted to any distributed ledger or blockchain technology to have an identifier that is persistent, does not require any centralized registration authority, and can be resolved against that chain to return a standardized JSON LD object called the DDO that has the associated public keys, control block for key rotation or key recovery, and then service endpoints for interacting with the underlying identity.
Okay.
So that's
we'll do more next week. That gives people an intro.
Yep.
To close this out, we're going to try to do this more to go through the items next week. We were only able to get through really three today, and even then that was a little rushed. So I'm going to say we're going to try to do three next week rather than four. So if you would like your, if you're ready to do a 5 or so minute thing about your work item next week, please let Kim and I know, and we will add you to the queue to review the items, and we'll let you know well in advance so you're not surprised day of that we put you on the list. But we'd like to, go through these work items. Big thing also is that, the credentials community has been around for a long time. A lot of people have put filters on their community mails, or they don't read them anymore. So if you can, if there are people that you think really care about some of these work items, please email them next week to come. Independent of the agenda being sent, or send the forward the agenda and change the subject lines so that their filters don't catch it, and encourage them to participate, because I do believe that in the next month and a half, a lot of our agenda for the next year or two may be set. So if they want to be part of this this fairly big conversation, and they want to, and I would like to see us be a big tent, please encourage them to participate in the next couple of calls. So if you can forward the next week's agenda item around, we'll have it out by Friday, or even maybe Thursday. Kim, maybe we should do it a little bit earlier this week. That would be great. Is there any other closing things before we call the end of the meeting? Kimberly? Kim, excuse me?
No, so the poll is going to come out today, early this afternoon. And so we're doing the pretty much the same as has been done previously around, you get 9 tokens to allocate. I'm just going through the updates right now, and we'll be sending it out shortly.
Last call for any other agenda items that we need to cover next week or to close. Okay. Well, thank you very much for participating today, and those of you who joined us new, we really appreciate. I know there's a lot of detail and background and history to catch up on. I will say that Kim and I, as new chairs of the community, still have stuff to catch up on, so you're not alone. Thank you, everyone, for your participation, and I look forward to collaborating with you, and see you next week. Goodbye.
Thanks, all.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Cheers.